Tonight we get to hear the wonderful good news of Jesus from our brother Mihai, who's from coming all the way from Bucharest, Romania. And so, bună seara to you, brother, and welcome. Bring us the gospel, and may the Lord bless you.
I'm very glad to be here tonight so that we can turn our eyes to the word of our Lord. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us your illumination so that we might understand your word, your revelation, your truth for our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn your scriptures with me to Psalm 91, where we will read starting with verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that lies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. What is courage? Our culture portrays courage in ways that tie it to very specific circumstances. For instance, the soldier who fights fearlessly in the war to protect his country. The passerby who sees someone in the water and jumps in to rescue that person. The police detective who seeks the criminals and catches the criminals and throws them in jail. The firefighter who risks his life to save a child from a burning house. All these are the images we have in our culture for courage. And all these cultural images are valid. They're true. They're good. All these actions are good and courageous actions. But how relevant are they for us? In our culture, whenever we talk about courage, we usually refer to extraordinary situations. And those are the kind of situations that we do not ordinarily encounter in our lives. Then what does courage mean for us, ordinary people? Do we have any chance to be brave and courageous in this life? If you are not a soldier fighting in a war, if you're not a detective catching serial killers, if you're not a firefighter saving people from the fire, then how can you live a life of courage? What does it mean to be courageous if you have an ordinary, boring life? Today we look at Psalm 91 to understand the acts of bravery which are for all of us. Even though we might not be in extraordinary circumstances, by faith, we are all called to a life of courage. How is this possible? Because God protects us in victory over all threats, we are called to live courageously by faith. Courage is an attitude of confidence and determination necessary to fulfill our vocations, our duties, the responsibilities we have. Even though we are not soldiers or firefighters, we still have duties, we still have responsibilities, we still have vocations in life. And courage means to persevere in those vocations, to persevere in those callings, despite dangers and threats. It means to trust God and therefore to live out your calling despite the negative circumstances you might be in. Imagine that you call 911 because your house is on fire and some firefighters arrive, and when they see the flames, they say, "Oh, there's no point in doing anything. The flames are too high. The fire is too hot. It's burning hot. If we try to do something, maybe the water will run out of water. So it's better just to wait. Just to wait for the flames to do their thing, and we'll see afterwards." Do you want such a firefighter to come to your house when you call 911? No. You want someone who's courageous, who's brave, who will not be scared by problems, by threats. Whenever we are afraid of difficulties, we do not fulfill our vocation. We get scared. We become cowards. We lack courage. And this does not apply only to firefighters, but it applies to all of us, even to us who have ordinary vocations. That's why, because God protects us in victory over all threats, we are called to abandon our cowardice and to live courageously by faith. So we look at Psalm 91 to understand how we can gain courage to live courageous lives. Why can we have courage by faith? First, here in Psalm 91, we see that we have courage because we have a great God. We have courage because we have a great God. The psalmist begins with a praise of the might of our infinite God. We have an almighty God. Our courage to live by faith in obedience to God comes because we have almighty care in the terms of our protection. The psalmist says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." The psalmist praises God for being almighty, for being the Most High, for being strong like the fortress. God protects us like a strong fortress protects those who hide in that fortress. We can hide in God. We can find refuge in God. He's great. He's strong. We are not called to a courage which we achieve by being ourselves smart and strong. No, we are pretty dumb and weak most of the time. But we can have courage because, although it is possible for bad things to happen to us, we find refuge in the greatness of our Lord. When we understand God's greatness, then we gain confidence to trust in Him, to rely on Him, to run to Him when we are in danger. We begin to understand that our escape is not in our craftiness, is not in our solutions, but in our great God. Because God is the greatest, we begin to put God first in our mind. we remember of our Almighty God who protects us. What does this mean? It means that when we are overwhelmed by the problems of life, when we have dilemmas in fulfilling our vocations and duties, when we are afraid of something, we must turn our attention to God. If we focus only on ourselves, if we think only about our problems, then we will get scared, we'll be afraid, and we will not have the courage to do what is right. Not to turn to God, not to call on God, to live as if you don't have a great God, is to be a practical atheist. True faith, trust in God, is reflected in courageous living. Not a perfect living, but a courageous living. You'll not be able to apply perfectly what you know rightly about God, but what you know rightly about God will be reflected in the fact that you'll turn to Him. Understanding the attributes of God transforms our lives. Why we can have courage by faith? First, because we have a great God. And second, because our problems are smaller than God. God is greater than our problems. Our problems are smaller than our great God. The psalmist here presents horrible dangers as if they are small and altogether nothing before God. And the psalmist says, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions and under his wings. You'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." The psalmist names a lot of dangers everyone is afraid of. Disease, war, natural disasters. All these things are greater than us. They're stronger than us. They defeat us. But are they stronger than God? No. So what should we do when we see danger approaching? Should we just run in any direction just to escape through our own powers? When we are afraid, when we see danger, when we see threats, many times we seek our own solution, we seek our own escape, and many times we seek that in sin. We often choose sin as our refuge because we see a little God and we believe that our problems are greater than God. We see sin as the solution to our problems. Consciously or not, when we do this, we say to ourselves, "God is small, God is weak, He cannot help me. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I know better what the solution is." And for every danger, for every threat, we have the illusion of a sinful escape. What should you do if you realize that you don't make enough money? It is a real problem. You can end up bankrupt. You could end up homeless. It is a real danger. And if you focus only on the problem, it will start seeming bigger and bigger. And if you look only at the problem, you will then look for sinful solutions. You can steal from someone. You can cheat when you're doing your taxes so that you don't have to pay so many taxes. But if you turn your attention to God, you'll not only learn what is right and what is wrong, but you'll understand that God will not let you die of hunger. You'll understand the care of God. What if you realize that school is too difficult and you don't find enough time to study, to write all your papers, to fulfill of all of your school duties. You might see that you're in danger. You might see that your GPA is taking a dip, and maybe it will prevent you from enjoying future opportunities. So what can you do? You can cheat, you can plagiarize, you can look for shortcuts. That's a quick solution. But if you turn your attention to God, you'll understand not only your duty to study and to obey your parents and to obey your teachers, but you'll understand also why you can trust in God who guides you and protects you in life. What if you realize that it is difficult to get married and to stay married with only one person your whole life? What if you will want different things in life? What if you like someone else in a few years? What's the solution? There is a quick solution. Just live with someone for a while, then change that person. Otherwise, you risk remaining unfulfilled, alone, or you might commit to something and fail. But if you turn your attention to God, you understand not only the duty we all have to live either married or in chastity, but beyond that, we understand how we can trust God in our married life or in our single life, how we can trust His guidance and His protection in our family life. The escape, the refuge, is not in sin. In sin, there's neither protection nor rest. Sin is not the solution. In sin, there is only more danger, more problems. That's why the psalmist presents those who live a wicked life as being under the condemnation of God, who will punish them. Sin is not the way out. By embracing sin, we only dig a deeper hole. In all the decisions and dilemmas of life, we either have faith and we seek our refuge in God, or we have no faith and we seek our escape in sin. Because God is eternal and omnipotent, because He's the Most High, He's the greatest, because He's greater than our problems, we must neither fall into despair nor seek other solutions through sin. All those problems that come against us, we are smaller than them, we are weaker than them, but God is greater and He is with us. We see the dangers approaching, we see the problems rising on the horizon, but we should not fear because God is close to us, God is with us. Is with us not only as our Creator, but also as our Savior, who became man to lead us, to save us, to protect us, to be near us. Why can we have courage by faith? Because we have a great God, because our problems are smaller than God. And third, because Christ guarantees us the protection of Psalm 91. Christ guarantees for us the protection of Psalm 91. When we read this psalm, these verses, when we read them at first, we might find them quite odd. Does this really apply to anyone? Who has this protection? It seems that this is some kind of a bulletproof, disease-proof shield. Bacteria, viruses, arrows flying in the air, snakes and lions trying to bite you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Who does this apply to? Who has this protection? Looking at the New Testament, we see that the devil applies it to Jesus. When Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, The devil tells him, throw yourself from the temple, you'll be fine because, and the devil quotes Psalm 91. But Jesus was crucified, and the nails and the spear did really pierce him. He died. Jesus applies this psalm to the disciples when he sends them in the ministry and tells them in Luke 10, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." We don't know what happened in those days, but we know of the sufferings of the disciples. The Apostle Paul describes his sufferings in great detail in his letter to the Corinthians, and the apostles and the ministers of the church are not exempt from dangers and suffering. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews seems to apply Psalm 91 to all Christians when he says that angels are all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. Then why did the angels not stop the slaughter of Christians in the first centuries? Why didn't the angels close the mouths of lions and beasts so that their teeth would not pierce the Christians in the arena? Where is this protection of Psalm 91? It seems to be a protection that's missing. Has God failed his church? Has God forsaken us? If Christ promised this protection to his church, where is it? The protection we have in Christ is even greater than the one described in Psalm 91. The words of Psalm 91 don't come even close in describing the refuge and safety we enjoy in Christ. Our problem is much greater than lions and their sharp teeth. What would you gain if the lions can't eat you, but you die of old age and you remain dead under the curse of death forever? What Christ secures for us is not a temporary shield that protects us from temporary dangers, but an eternal safe haven in the resurrection of the dead, the life everlasting in him whose kingdom shall have no end. That's how the power of all these dangers is gone. That's why the martyrs don't fear the teeth of the lions. The power of all these things to end our life is gone. They do kill our body, but they do not end our life. And that's how we gain courage by faith. We understand that our great God has become man to defeat death in order that no danger and no threat will overcome us. And we trust in his resurrection, and everything else drops in the background. Everything else becomes muted, blurred, because of the greatness of the resurrection. Because God protects us in the victory of the resurrection, we are called to live courageously by faith, even when we are surrounded by danger. That's how we start fulfilling our vocations despite dangers and threats. That's how we start trusting God, and therefore we live out our calling despite our horrible circumstances. If you are a soldier or a firefighter, that's wonderful. But you don't have to be a soldier or a firefighter in order to be brave on a daily basis. Just love your family. Be faithful to your spouse. Honor your parents. Work hard in your workplace. Live a quiet life, worship God with his people. Almost all these things have become really radical things to be done in our age. But faith enables us to live a courageous life, a fruitful life, in the midst of a dry and fruitless wilderness. Every week, Christ assures us of this protection. We are sealed in the sacrament in the victory of his death and resurrection. Our faith is strengthened through the word and sacrament that we might grow in courage. Jesus said to his disciples, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Because he is victorious, because through his resurrection he has put an end to death, because he shares his victory with us, we are called to trust him, to be confident and courageous in him, and to fulfill our vocations with the power, with the strength we have through this confidence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not leaving us alone in this broken world. We praise you for the victory we have in Christ, and we ask you to give us confidence in your salvation, so that trusting in your grace, we might love you with all our heart and love our neighbors as ourselves. We ask you to remove fear from our minds and to comfort our hearts with hope in the resurrection of the dead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now stand and respond to our Lord, singing together song number 332.